Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm kind of like sitting back waiting for my co-host to chime in. But while I do so, I want to tell you that track that you heard, if you're listening in, and I go ahead and open the chat room, that's a song called Conversation Piece. Interesting title, right? Because we have conversations here. And a friend of mine that is a former member of a Motown group called Ozone, they had songs like Strut My Thing. That was a great R&B song. They did a duet with the legendary, the one and only individual we know as Tina Marie. And here's someone trying to call me, you know, while I'm on air, and I'm going to have to ignore them. They should know better when I'm on air on Saturdays. Don't call me at 6 p.m. Eastern time, okay? Please. Text me. Okay, so going back to my story. The song that you just heard was Mr. Joe Foxworth, and he wrote a song called Conversation Piece, and he's given me the rights to go ahead and use that as our opening theme song. So I kind of like wonder what you guys think about it. I think it's a good opening track. A little long. We might edit it down the road, okay? See what we can do based on that. Okay, So I'm seeing that the board is starting to fill up a little bit. Some folks are a little bit behind time. Of course, not everyone's going to chime in right at 6 p.m., but I'm seeing that folks are chiming in right now, so I appreciate that. 205-538, I see you on the board. And let me see if I see some others that will pop up. But in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and say some things before we get into the topics of this evening's show. You know, I normally don't talk about the holidays until it gets closer to Christmas. But, oh, my God, I mean, back when it was Halloween, stores were already having Christmas up. Think about it. Stores already had Christmas up along with Halloween. Ghouls and goblins along with the celebration of Christ. I'm sorry for laughing, but I mean, that just kind of like blew my mind. I'm like, are we really at this point in time? Are we really where companies are saying, hey, look, you know, we got to get the public to go ahead and spend that money. All about that dollar. Doesn't matter. We got to make money. And apparently, they're going to do it. And apparently, consumers, individuals, don't care about seasons, about the celebrations. They don't care. You know, when you look at where, and I see it every day, I look at where, you know, here's the regular price. But you all know that once that season's over with, the price goes down 50%, 75%, and then it's gone. But you want to rush in and pay the higher price, and then some do complain about the price, which at that point I'm like, are you serious? You're going to complain about the price? I had a customer the other day that it really tripped me out. They wanted a Christmas tree, okay? And they asked me, after I went and located the tree, is there a discount on this? I'm like, excuse me? You guys have a discount on this? The son had asked, said, and you know, for his mom. Christmas hasn't even come and gone yet. Why the hell would you think that a Christmas tree would be on a discount right now? Why would you think that? I'm sorry, you guys. I'm just looking at the ignorance of certain things of people. It's the holiday season. Stores, companies are trying to make a profit. They're not going to discount shit right before the holiday. No, it don't work that way. Okay? Use common sense. They're in the business to make money, make profit. They've already discounted it down to the lowest price they can do or that they choose to do. Don't come ask me if I can bring it down lower. That's about the dumbest thing you would really think of. We spoke about Black Fridays last week, and we're going to speak about a little bit more. We're going to talk about, you know, also the political landfill that's going on. A landslide. I don't know. It's just so crazy what's going on in politics. When Janet joins in, I'll let her give you guys a little bit more up-to-date information of it. But just the ignorance of people. Just, I don't get it. Maybe you could tell me. Maybe you can make me understand why people feel like, you know, there should be a discount.
Okay.
For what reason, dumbass? Tell me why. Why do you think? Also, we're going to talk about some things. And as I said, I normally don't really get into the holiday things. I really want to get into some things as far as, are you really into the Black Friday thing? Because now stores have not just one Black Friday. They have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Black Fridays. We did touch on some of those recently, last week. You know, why? Why do we have all these sales? I'm looking at folks who go online looking for the Black Friday deals, and they know about them, but they wait like a week later and then come into the store and say, I'm looking for this item you guys had for Black Friday. And I'm like, oh, you're talking about Black Friday number one. We're on number 3 now. What'd you expect? You expected us to still have that shit that everybody else came and got? You really thought we have that much stuff left over? It's called Black Friday for a reason. Limited while supplies last. Did you not read that? Jay King said something, and all due respect to Jay King. He says, a lot of folks don't listen well. I have to say, a lot of folks don't read well. Because there are certain items that you can order online, and people think that it's in the store. No, it's an online order. It's a product you cannot get in the damn store. Read. You can't pick it up at the store. They don't stock it. They will ship it to you, or they will ship it to the store, and you can pick it up. Read. I mean, did COVID really make us lose our minds of thinking? What happened? Okay, I see Janice here, you know, and I'm going to open up her mic momentarily. Please, you guys, say hello to my co-host, Ben, my right hand for many years, the one, the only, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Janet. You know I had to rant for a minute.
Yeah, you sound disgruntled.
No, I'm just being honest. I see it all the time, and I'm like, come on, y'all. We could do better than this. It's not about just listening. Read. And that's another topic we can talk about on the show. You know, people don't read anymore. They don't. You
right.
Go into a store, they have signs everywhere of what's on the aisle. Now, granted, I have to say that at my store, I'm really disappointed. They don't have a sign that says bread. And I'm like, customers are like, where's the bread at? And I look around, I'm like, you know what? They need to at least show that, okay? They don't have that little sign over there because that's a necessity, right? But people don't read. They don't want to. People just want everything, you know, like just walk in the store and just ask a kid, where's the water?
Everything is much more simple now that you have internet, you have cellular phones, you know, so everybody want to be seen set instead of trying to figure some things out. But that's not everybody. That's just a select few, Michael.
I agree with you, but here's the thing. It is so simple. And granted, they made it simple to where you have phones and where your phone, if you go to that, let's say, for instance, a Walmart, let's say a Target or a Home Depot, they show you exactly what aisle that is on. They show you that. But here's the problem. People don't do is, again, read. Because, see, they'll pull up a store, but it's not the store they're actually going to. It's another store. I've seen this. Some customers come to me and be like, well, it says it's on aisle so-and-so, and I look, and I'm like, well, you have the website for the store in Sacramento, California on your damn phone. Literally.
I think it's
different
the same job, because you are very disgruntled.
No, I'm not disgruntled. I'm just telling you
I'm
not disgruntled, Janet. I'm not disgruntled. I'm telling you the facts of what I see where people don't take time to read. You can't just go on the internet and type in Walmart. You can't just go on there and type in Target. Because if you do that, it might take you straight over to another location, not your local store. Take time out to read and see what store that you're navigating. Put in the right address.
You got to type the right thing in. Garbage in, garbage out. If you don't type the right thing in, you're not going to get the right information.
And that's what I just said. Exactly. And people don't do that. I see it every day, Janet. I'm telling you. And people will show me, and they're like, well, it says here that you got this here. I'm like, can I see your phone? And I look. You're showing me a whole different location. It's not the store. That's a laziness of people, in my opinion. That's a laziness of making sure that they confirm what they're looking for and the location that they're looking for from. And the fact that just because you go to an app that says Target carries this, Walmart carries this, Home Depot carries this, doesn't mean it's in the store. If you scroll down, it will tell you that there's probably a third party, second or third party, that will ship it to you. People don't do that. They just assume, oh, Walmart says they have it. But I have to break a lot of folks' hearts, and I'm like, I have to educate them. Read. Don't just look at the product, and just because this locate or this store says they carry it, yeah, they can sell it to you, but it doesn't mean they have it in their store. Scroll. The word scroll is very important. Scroll down and continue to read. And people don't do that. I deal with it every day. And it just boggles my mind. People don't read. And it'll be a lot simpler. And then I get folks who get mad at me. How come you all, wait a minute. You all, my last name isn't Walden. The Walmart family are the Waldens. I don't have no control over what they do. And just like any other company, if you're unsatisfied, if you're upset with how they put, you know, their information on the internet or this, complain with them. Don't complain to the associates. The associates are only doing what they're, you know, trained and taught. Don't cuss out the associates, because I've seen where individuals will cuss out young kids, and some of those young kids will quit because they're like, wait a minute, that I don't need to be cussed out like this. They have no control of it. But this is what happens. People don't read, let alone listen. Don't read. Every store you walk into has an aisle. And that aisle has a description of what's supposed to be on the aisle. If it's correct, great. If it's wrong, then go to management and say, hey, look, y'all need to let folks know that toilet paper is on this aisle. You ain't got the sign there. Every store has it. Dollar stores, grocery stores, major chains have those signs up there. But you as a consumer need to learn how to look up and read. We've gotten so lazy. We want someone else to do what we should already know how to do. Read. Or is it a thing of where some people don't know how to read now? That's a question. They really don't know how to read. So that was not really the topic that I wanted to get to in the beginning of the show, but we're going to go ahead and go back to what we initially was going to talk about, and that, you know, we have to do our political view. Ken, I know you have that up there and posted and ready. Wow. What's going on in politics now? Now, with the Trump thing, we already talked about that a little bit last week. But where Donald Trump is saying, hey, look, y'all, you got to go ahead and just squash this stuff. There's no evidence, this and the other. One side says, yes, there is. The other side, no, there isn't. And then a judge recently in Colorado where they wanted Donald Trump's name not to be on the ballot, and she said, well, not enough evidence to put him on the ballot. But then again, didn't she say that he was part of the January 6th?
The judge said because he was president of the United States, that that didn't pertain to him when it came to the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment was for others. And she did put it down saying that Trump was involved somewhat in the insurrection. I forgot the detail of what exactly she said, but she said that he can be on the ballot. Even though the insurrection. Yeah, she said he still can be on the ballot.
But isn't that kind of confusing, because the way I read it, and I'm trying to see if I can find it, I tried to say
anybody who takes the oath of office cannot be engaged in an insurrection or anything that has something to do with overthrowing the government. They can no longer hold a political office. But she said that wasn't because of that wasn't for the president. Yeah.
Okay, so let me run this by you guys real quick. And this came from CNN. I know a lot of folks don't like CNN. They're like, oh, well, they're, you know, left-wing. But a Colorado judge has ruled that former President Donald Trump, quote, engaged in an insurrection on January 6th. He says this. This is in quotes of 2021. But rejected an attempt to remove him from the state's 2024 primary ballot, finding that the 14th Amendment's insurrection ban, end quotes, doesn't apply to president. Okay, so now let's clarify this here. The major decision issued Friday by Colorado District Judge Sarah Wallace comes after judges in Minnesota and Michigan also refused to remove Trump from that state's Republican primary ballots. These three high-profile challenges against Trump, which had the backing of well-funded advocacy groups, have so far failed to remove him from a single ballot with the 2024 primary. Okay, so, and I'm sorry, however, the 102-page ruling in Colorado offered a searing condemnation of Trump's conduct, labeling him as an insurrectionist who, quote, actively primed the anger of his extremist supporters and, quote, acted with the specific intent to incite political violence and direct it at the Capitol, end of quote. Wallace included that, quote, Trump engaged in an insurrection on January 6, 2021 through incitement, and that the First Amendment does not protect Trump's speech, quote. At the Ellipse that day, she also found that Trump acted with the specific intent to disrupt the Electoral College certification of President Biden's electoral victory through unlawful means. Now, who's keeping? I apologize for calling. The 14th Amendment, ratified after the Civil War, says American officials who take an oath to support the Constitution are banned from future office if they, quote, engage in insurrection. Let me back up, y'all. Wallace concluded that, quote, Trump engaged in an insurrection on January 6, 2021 through incitement, and that the First Amendment does not protect Trump's speech. You heard me read that earlier. But as I go forward, the 14th Amendment, ratified after the Civil War, says American officials who take an oath to support the Constitution are banned from future office if they engage in insurrection. What does this judge get wrong? You understand my point?
Well, yeah, but she said he, because he was president of the United States, that didn't apply to him.
No. I'm only going about words here. But what I'm saying, but let's look at the key words here.
I know.
The key words, right, the key words is if you are an officer of the state, if you are an officer, American officials who take an oath to support the Constitution are banned from further office if they engage. An American official. The president is an American official, you guys. I don't give a shit what you try to twist and turn it or whatever. The American president is an American official who take an oath to support the Constitution. He is probably the one who should be held liable more so than anybody else.
Well, Michael, she largely backed their interpretation, and she agreed that Trump's behavior, because of after the 2020 election was not good, but because she said the critical question of whether a president can be disqualified by the 14th Amendment, she didn't want to challenge that part. But I feel the same way you do. Anybody who takes the oath and swears their allegiance to the United States of America should not engage in anything that's going to cause overthrowing the government.
Come on, y'all. Here's the thing I look at. I look at the fact that we're talking about decades ago, right? And that government that put it, and we have to look at, we have to realize that, whatever the Constitution was, this and the other, they all meant well. But the world, the country and the world has changed drastically since those things were written. But some of the oaths or some of the amendments should still hold true. And of course, we know that a lot have been amended over the years. Okay? We know that. We just don't notice it or pay attention to it. But based on this year, that's double tongued to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She's saying one thing. It's a double tongue, like a snake. I'm not calling her one. But it's like, come on, man. You said that. Let me say this. You're saying, yes, he was part of the insurrection, but it doesn't clearly say a president. No, it clearly states anyone who takes the oath of office. That should include the damn president of the United damn States. Now you're really pissing me off. You're basically saying that, well, the president of the United States, it's a different thing. Even though he took the oath of office, which is a sworn oath, and correct me if I'm wrong, if they say, you know, where they put God into it as a sworn oath, but now you as a judge want to say, but that doesn't pertain to presidents. What does and what doesn't? Go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, no. I was talking to the kitty. But they said that they also said that because of the judge's ruling, they said they applaud that ruling in Colorado. They said it was another nail in the coffin of an un-American ballot challenge, you know. But the thing is, people can get out and they have a choice of who they want to vote for, you know. So even if he's on the ballot, that don't mean they're going to vote for him. So we just have to let it all play out.
Right. And you're right about that. And I agree with that. I was surprised it got to this point for them to have it, you know, as far as, you know, having a judge. But by her making that decision, I think she pretty much put herself in a bad spot. Let me go ahead and open up another mic. And look who's here. I think it's the security here. We always love to have our security here on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network and here on the TMG. By the way, tomorrow night, new show starting. You guys got to check it out. Tune in. I'm going to be at an event, but I'm going to make sure I'm going to chime in and support this young brother. Mr. Darian Reynolds will be debuting his new show, and I'm going to give you more information on that. You're going to enjoy it, but let me go ahead and open up the mic to the one and only Officer Crenshaw. What's up?
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Hi, Crenshaw.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. You all look pretty. Go them Atlanta 49ers. Anyway, I was listening to what you guys were saying, and the judge was very smart and unique. Remember I said as an officer, I had to think like a lawyer with different things that I did out on the street, because everyone articulates different things to benefit themselves.
True.
Even though the judge said he committed insurrection, but based on the Constitution, the oaths that he took for president, he can't be held accountable for that. But as a person, he can be. So, in other words, the judge was telling them, stop bringing lawsuits based on a former president and bring it on Mr. Trump.
Well, okay. So let me bring this back to you, and you clarify what you're understanding, because I'm gonna read this one more time, and you tell me, because this is where I'm missing the point of what she said and what is said. Okay. It says here. However, the 122-page ruling in Colorado offered a searing condemnation of Trump's conduct, labeling him as an insurrectionist who, quote, actively primed the anger of his extremist supporters, end of quote, and, quote, acted with the specific intent to incite political violence and direct it at the Capitol, end of quote. Then it goes on to say, Wallace concluded, meaning the judge, quote, Trump engaged in an insurrection on January 6, 2021, through incitement, and that the First Amendment does not protect Trump's speech. Okay, end of quote. At the ellipse that day, she also found that Trump, quote, acted with a specific intent to disrupt the Electoral College certification of President Biden's electoral victory through unlawful means, end of quote. The 14th Amendment, ratified after the Civil War, says American officials, that's plural, not official, American officials who take an oath to support the Constitution, meaning the president does the same damn thing. Any senator, anybody who is elected in office, regardless of what level of government, okay? Again,
but that's
the 14th Amendment ratified, hold on, I'm going to finish up. After the Civil War, says American officials, and that really tells me at any level, doesn't matter, who take an oath to support the Constitution are banned from future office if they, quote, engage in insurrection. But the Constitution, but the Constitution doesn't say how to enforce the ban, and it has only been applied twice since 1919. Which is why many experts view these lawsuits as long shots. Granted, the provision explicitly bans insurrections from from serving as U.S. senators, representatives, and even presidential electors, but it does not say anything about presidents. It says it covers any office, civil or military, under the United States, end of quote. And Wallace ruled that this does not include the office of the presidency. How is that possible? Anybody that takes over office should be
because he's not considered an official. He's considered the president, which is above officials. That's the wording I was talking about, the articulation of the wording, just like the Constitution states to defend, okay?
Mm-hmm.
His oath that he took states to support the Constitution. Now, they have him based on his tweaks or twits or whatever they call them and, you know, all the stuff that he do to where he wants to get rid of the Constitution, but the lawyers presenting the lawsuits have to stipulate those facts. The judge can't assume that's what they mean. They have to actually stipulate those facts, those circumstances, just like they have to name him and stop naming him former President Trump and name him Mr. Trump in the lawsuits.
Then
but he's not, and he wasn't on that day.
But here's the thing I have to say that tickles the shit out of me, that certain groups still call him President Trump. Okay, I expect that. You know, President Trump, like, he's not the president. Biden is the president. Right. The thing you should call him former President Trump, because he was the president. Just call him Mr. Trump. No, let me finish, please, and you can chime in. He is a former president of the United States. So any newscast, anything can say former President Trump. By law, yes, they can say that. That's not being wrong. Okay. Or they can call him Mr. Trump. But still, when I see certain shows or certain programs and I talk to him, they say, well, President Trump, they're like, no, you can't call him President Trump. He's not president anymore. He does not have that title anymore. Former, okay. But now, let me go back to something here and get you guys' opinion on this. To continue, after considering the arguments on both sides, the court is persuaded that officers of the United States did not include the President of the United States. This is a quote from Wallace, okay? This is what she wrote. Quote again what she says. It appears to the court that for whatever reason, the drafts of Section 3 did not intend to include a person who had only taken the presidential oath, end of quote. Going forward, legal scholars believe these cases will, in some form, end up at the U.S. Supreme Court. But before that, the GOP and the independent voters who filed the Colorado lawsuit, that's where it all started from, in coordination with a liberal watchdog group, could first file an appeal to the Colorado Supreme Court. What's your thoughts on that? Of course, I'm pretty sure it's going to go to the Supreme Court.
Yes, it will. But you have to remember something. Respect is earned, not given. For them to continue to call him former President Trump when they didn't even give the respect to President Obama, the whole time, the whole 8 years, they called him Obama. They didn't give him the respect of presidency. So what you're looking at now with Trump, okay, he hasn't earned that respect with the things that he's done. He was given that respect based on his title that he carried. And for some reason, people don't want to take it away. And it's already been proven all the things that he's done. He was doing it before he got in the White House, talking about grabbing a woman's stuff. You know,
right?
You already knew his mindset, but for some reason, you know, he was given respect, and he hadn't earned anything. Why? Because he had a lot of money, or he say he had a lot of money.
Well. Okay. So let's look at this. Okay, I know what you're talking about, Vivian. And those are the questions I have from people who support him, say, oh, but he's been a great president. Have you looked at it? Now, Donald Trump did do a few things. When you really look, he did a very few things that were good, very few. And the only reason why he did that, it was like a how should I put it? It was like it was a thing where take your eye off the prize. You know what I'm saying? Like,
look at where I'm doing this for the black community and everything. And we all, you know, cheered him and everything. And we were like, oh, great, Donald Trump is doing something. You know, you look at Kanye West. Yeah, I'm gonna back him. I'm going to run for president and everything. And we all took our eye off the fact that there was other shit going on. And we did.
Yeah, just like okay. Him talking crap about the COVID vaccine. But when he got sick, I bet you his ass took it, and he's still taking it.
Yeah, he took it. Yeah.
He took the top of women. He took the cocktail of COVID vaccine.
Yeah, no, he didn't drink bleach like he was telling other people to do. He took the damn vaccine.
Hello?
So if people can't see the smoke and mirrors from Trump, what the hell is going to bring them around? He added more money to the U.S. deficit than any president did in their term.
That's right. And it was a cocktail that he took because they gave him everything they could to keep him from being sick. And he tried to pretend he wasn't sick, but he could barely breathe when he went out on the balcony. And people would be stupid and not realize that.
Exactly.
You're going to tell people not to take the shot, but then you taking whatever you can take to stay alive.
Hold on a minute. I'm sorry. I have to put myself on mute. But no. Janet, he took what they call the cocktail. And
I
know you followed
up on it.
Hold on. He took the cocktail. He got the best of the best for the COVID vaccine. Right. Okay. I thought you said he didn't take it. No.
No.
They gave him
the
cocktail. They gave him the shit that could keep him alive. Even when he was saying about, you know, if you think about it, you know, it's just so amazing the people of where, first of all, this is a president of the United States.
That's why I said you tell people not to take the shot.
Hold on. I'm still speaking. Let me finish. I'm going to give you your spot here. But here's an individual who was in real estate, first of all. He has a history. Him and his father has a history of being crooked in real estate. Convicted before he became president. Convicted before he had a TV show. Do the research. I wish one of you dumbasses who support him call in and tell me I'm wrong. It's documented. He has a criminal record already.
He hasn't been found guilty yet.
Excuse me. Let me finish, please. Convicted. Janet, we already talked about this. Let me finish. Convicted, you guys, years ago when he was that young Donald Trump, that young, handsome-looking man.
What was he convicted of?
I'm still speaking. I wish you guys, you know what?
I
will give you
what he was convicted of.
Excuse me?
I just asked you, what was he convicted of?
Him and his father were convicted. Basically, if you look at it, I won't say convicted. They had to pay some money over for the fact of when they were using their properties and not just the properties as far as being racially segregating, I think, the way they were doing their process of that, also with the things of where they were dealing with their casinos, okay? They had to go to court over that, and they were convicted especially over the housing projects that they had. Now, if you want to ask me what was the actual, you know, tit for tit, I have to look it up, but I do know that to be a fact. Everybody knows that to be a fact. But if you want me to pull it up, I can. Donald Trump has been in court many a time, and he's settled out of court, and he's been convicted, even his daddy, okay? Okay, so moving forward, what I'm trying to finish, you keep interrupting me, and I'm trying to finish where I'm trying to, you know, go with what we're talking about right now. The thing is that when I'm saying that where Trump organization recently, again, is in court with all these things, all these new indictments. It's not the first time that Donald Trump has been in court over certain things. He has been convicted in the past. And you know, the thing is that where folks have to look at, I mean, would you really trust a person who has been convicted of a crime to run your country? Would you? You already have once. And now, after he's already served in office, you're really willing to go ahead and let him do it again? You ignored his past smaller crimes, which you might want to call smaller crimes, lower level. It's still a crime. A lot of contractors did not get paid for all those buildings and all that work that was built for Atlantic City. Y'all know that, right? And he filed bankruptcy how many times? So he never got in trouble filing bankruptcy. But those companies never got paid. Those employees, those individuals who worked their fucking ass off every damn day never got a paycheck. So we forgot about them.
That's because nobody wants to learn his complete history. The statements that he's making today, making today from Hitler and Mussolini reflect back to what happened back then. And Trump is from Germany. His family was banned from Germany because his grandfather or his great-grandfather ran off from the draft, evaded the draft.
Look at the lies he told in the past about where his family lineage begins. And it's been documented and it's been investigated, and it's all a freaking lie. It's a lie. And again, I say, how come these people who support him so much don't look at the fact that the man has lied to you many a times? I don't have to tell you it's a lie. You can research yourself and see what he's told you is a lie. And now you want to put him back in office? You want to, and this is the first president ever. First president ever who is going to court. He's not going across the country doing campaigns. He's going to courts. He's going across the country visiting courtrooms of all the lies he's got. And he's constantly pleading for judges to let these cases go. Man, if you committed a crime, it doesn't matter if you've been a president, doesn't matter whatever in other countries, it doesn't matter if you were the leader of the country and they found that you were doing something and stealing the money from the people of the country, in some countries they will kill you. We know that to be history, don't we? Thank God in the United States they don't do that. But in some countries, they kill their leaders or imprison them. Some countries, they got different laws than what we have in the United States. And that's a fact. So Donald Trump right now, I mean, based on this whole thing and this constant spending of the American public's money, yes, we paying for this trial, y'all. These trials for the security and everything, not just for him, the judges and everything, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, not every day, just in a matter of hours of being spent of your taxpayers' money for this continued stupidity, stupid trial. It's costing you. While this man, who's supposed to be a billionaire, has people coming out there saying, y'all need to raise money for Donald Trump. What? I need to put into a fund for the billionaire? The Apprentice? Follow me, you guys. Follow me.
This A lot of them found out when they donated $20, $50, $100 that they didn't realize they was doing that every month.
Right. They thought they were doing it one time. No, they go into your bank account every month. They're taking the money out of your bank account. Right. Good point, Officer Crenshaw. Because the thing is that where the site that you sign up for, they already have you pre-set up. And if you don't look at every damn thing there and uncheck a box, see, that box is already checked in advance, saying that you will go ahead and give that amount of money. Yeah. If you don't read the whole screen, you just checking off. You putting in your information. Yeah, here's my email address. Here's my phone number. Here's, you know, and everything. But you're not reading over they already checked off a box. And they give you an option now. Legally, what they do, they like, uncheck this box if you don't, but they put it way over in the corner or way at the bottom of the screen where they know you're going to miss on that. They always put the stuff that they want you to fill out and then hit continue. But your dumbass just keeps moving on. And like Officer Crenshaw just said, now, every month, you're looking at your bank account and you're thinking, what the hell? Where's $20 going to? Donald Trump. Donald Trump is getting your money. The billionaire.
Where you at, Janet?
The billionaire is getting your $20.
Where's Janet at?
Y'all. She's here. She's on the board.
She's listening.
Janet, you there?
Every time I try to say something, Michael has a tendency to say he's talking, so I have nothing to say.
Well, yes, you do.
I'm finished, Janet. Do you have, Janet, do you have something to say? Go ahead.
No.
Janet.
Okay.
Janet. Come on. Come on. I'm not wearing any clothes. Come on.
No, well, I don't have anything to say. Well, listen, I, of all people, was from upstate New York and close to New Jersey, know more than a lot of people of all the things Trump and his dad did from 2015 on, way before 2015.
Right.
Before
so
I came down here, he was doing stuff in New Jersey, and the city almost went bankrupt.
So that's
but
why
Janet, that's what we're just talking about.
You were still listening.
We just said that. We know. You know. We know what Donald Trump was doing and what his family was doing. And that's what we're just saying, is that New Jersey, Atlantic City, you know, I mean, all that I just said is documented, and it's a fact. The only thing I'm saying is that we're, you know, it's not a debate with you and me. It's just a fact of just putting the facts out there of where I'm trying to understand why do people believe in a person who has a criminal history, okay, before he even ran for president, him and his dad did wrong, filed bankruptcy. And now, surely in 2023,
they drained the Kool-Aid.
There you go.
I'm listening.
They drank the Kool-Aid.
Okay, but here's the thing.
He was giving them something that nobody else was giving them, as far as them being disgruntled, you know. So he was, when he say knock them in the head, you know, I'll pay your lawyer fees, he gave people some kind of power, because then they started going around and confronting people in stores, saying all kinds of crazy things, telling them to go back to their country.
They became emboldened, is the word.
Yeah.
Right. They became emboldened.
Yes, I know.
And unfortunately, and again, I will say this, and as I continue to do this show, and we will look at certain things, you know, that happen every week. We will look at things because every week there's something different, you know. I'm going to move on to the next topic, but we will look at the fact that the ignorance of people who ignore the fact that you have a criminal, to be honest, you have a criminal who managed to become a president, actually managed to become the president of the United States. He had a criminal background. Okay.
Yeah.
And now, after the fact, after serving as he was president, the things that he was doing criminally was coming up on him, and he knew this. And the things that's how come the insurrection came, because he knew once he was not president, he would be he would have to deal with these charges as a regular citizen, as a former president. But as a former president, you still have a lot of power and control, right? And that's what he's doing now. He's not the president now. But as having the title of a former president, it does go in his favor by the people who voted for him, by the people in Congress, by the people in the House of Representatives who love what he did, that line their pockets, which we already know all that shit that went on. In fact, we're going to have a conversation about a certain individual who is about, I'm just so surprised. How did this guy get so far? He has gotten to a bullshitting his constituents and everything to get to this point. And he's a hell of a liar. And we're going to take a music break. We're going to come back because the time is now 7:05 p.m. here on the East Coast. And interesting stuff that we're talking about. But Donald Trump, he wants to get this all just like removed and just let it go. Bruh, you're not the president anymore. You are a regular citizen that has extra protective security because you were the former president. But whatever law you broke, whatever crime you committed, you have to go through due process like any other American citizen. A crime is a crime. Investigations are investigations. And it doesn't matter who you are, regardless of how much money you have or that you claim you have. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. And I look at it sense of where the American public wants to feel comfortable to know that just because you have a name or a brand or you have a bank account and everything, that you can get by, you know, get through life and do things by breaking laws and not being held accountable. Officer Crenshaw, you about to speak on that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it wasn't that he emboldened anyone. He did. But what he did more so, which is the next topic you're probably going to talk about a certain person, he pretended to listen and hear. A lot of people have a lot of anger about a lot of different things. And because he spoke out about what his anger is, his issues are, it related to a lot of people that had the same issues and anger. And they felt like he heard them when he really didn't hear them. So that's what emboldened them. And the same person you're about to talk about here shortly, if I think I know who you're getting ready to talk about, did the exact same thing. That's how he was able to shoot up the chute. You know, he pretended to hear, but really didn't hear because he was more so talking about his anger and his issues, but it related to other people's anger and issues. So they thought he heard them, and that's why they still are rallying around behind him. He's speaking what I wanted to say. I just couldn't say it. Nobody would hear me when I did say it.
They still think that he's going to round up all these political people, generals, ex-presidents, senators, anybody who he had beef with, and they're going to take him to Guantanamo Bay and have tribunals. It didn't happen with the 4 years he was in office, and it's not going to happen ever again.
Yeah, the only thing he's going to have on his hands, if he does that, if he gets back in the office.
He says he's going to have concentration camps.
Yeah.
He said,
so,
camp, what kind of camp is that when you're putting people in it?
Right. He's going to be singing that old song, My Ding-a-ling, because that's the only thing he's going to have left. Because everybody else can walk away from it.
Okay, with that being said, I know that old song, and yeah, we know who that was. Classic song. I might play one day on the show. My Ding-a-ling. Okay, so let's take a music break. We'll be right back. We're going to change topics here. And listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. Here's Karen White with Secret Rendezvous. We'll be right back, you guys.
Of you and we will get together and rendezvous. I'll be on time, you're in the wild, and when we lock the door, or you'll be all mine.
Alone in my room,
Welcome back to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That's Karen White with Secret Rendezvous. Again, she's going to be performing here in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, tomorrow night. Tickets still available for the second show. First show sold out. I'm glad to hear that. And I will be letting you guys see some of the live streams I'm going to be sharing with you on the Michael Gay Show, the TMGS, on Facebook, and also on the, let's see. Oh, yeah. We'll be broadcasting some clips from the show on also Instagram. Okay, so welcome back all my guests and callers and co-hosts to the show. Let's move on to our next topic. Can you guys hear me? Make sure I'm on air. I have myself on mute. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. All right, I want to make sure I'm not talking a dead air. So, unfortunately, there was, and Jan, I want you to pull that up too. Unfortunately, there was a shooting that occurred where a five-year-old.
Stabbing.
Stabbing of a five-year-old. And a five-year-old fatally stabs his twin brother during a fight in California. I mean, when you look at what's going on, my question is, how does a five-year-old attack their own sibling? What's going on here? Let me give you guys a little bit of the information on this. This is a story that was published on the 17th. A five-year-old Northern California boy is dead after officials say his twin brother stabbed him with a knife during a fight between siblings. The Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office reported deputies responded just before 4 p.m. Wednesday to a home in the small city of Scotts Valley for a report of a stabbing. The home in Santa Cruz Mountains, about 30 miles south of downtown San Jose. It goes on to say, at some point, the release continues, one of the boys grabbed a small kitchen knife and stabbed his twin. Despite life-saving efforts from first responders and hospital staff, five-year-old boy later died at the hospital. Following a preliminary investigation by the sheriff's office, investigators, and the local district attorney's office, officials said no charges will be filed in connection to the boy's death. California law indicates that age, criminal intent, and knowledge of wrongfulness are factors needed to charge a child with a crime, the release said. Based on the current investigation, there is no indication of negligence or criminal activity by any other party. We are heartbroken for the family of these two young children and share in their grief. Officials said no further details are being released in the case and asked the family be given privacy as it mourns. I mean, what happened here? And this is a five-year-old taking the life of his own sibling.
You know, Mike, it goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago, where children are, they have the cell phones, they have the video games, you know, they have all these, you know, Nintendo DS and, you know, tablets, and they... Parents, they're using the devices like they're a babysitter. And children are looking at things they have no business even looking at. If it's age appropriate, that's different. But you give a child Fortnite or something, and you see people getting killed, and then the next day you go to play that game again, and they get killed, you know, you think that it's okay to hurt somebody because they're going to come bounce back. But they don't bounce back, and that's sad. We need to
stop.
That's
a good point. That is a very good point of what Jen just said, is that where, you know, I read an article many years ago of where we have to remember that children are very impressed at young ages, from 4 to 5 years old. Very impressed, and that is pretty much what their understanding of life is within their, you know, stages of being 4 to 5. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? At that point, that's a learning process that's going to stay with them the majority of their life until something actually really changes. But when you have 4 to 5 years old, like Jen just said, that are exposed to violence, violent games, violent TV shows and everything, and they think that it's a game, that, you know, yeah, I killed that person, but they'll be back, and I have to go through the process again. I mean, does anyone agree or disagree with that whole concept of that's probably the mindset that is being put into our children's head of where it is a game, even when we are actually committing a crime, they think it's a game?
Yeah, I
want to see if anybody out there, if you're on the board, and I see some folks on the board, you can hit the number one. I'll open up your mic, and you can respond to this whole thing, because this is sad. It's becoming the norm of where we are teaching. Look, I'm a manager for a major retail store. We have many violent games for kids. It's supposed to be fun, but the mindset is shoot and kill, attack and destroy. The majority of the games, that's the mindset. And that's the mindset we have for the entertainment. You look at television, everything is violent. It is shoot and kill. Seek and destroy. Look at all these games out here. I mean, there's some for young kids, like 5-year-olds, you know, everything. But I see parents coming there buying video games or buying certain ones like Fortnite, like Janet just said, you know, all these shoot 'em up, kill, blood, you know, and everything. For 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds.
Well, Mike, that
but here you have a whole aisle of Fisher Price toys, which that's what we grew up on. Child toys for you to learn and not kill. You know what's going wrong here? Go ahead, Officer Crenshaw. You about to speak.
I was just going to say that contributes to a lot of it, but not all of it. You also have children now growing up that are being diagnosed with anger management issues, and then you just have the child that is envious of the other child, you know, because they feel like they might be getting more attention than they are. Then you have a situation to where, like you said, children are very impressionable at a young age. If it's some domestic issues going on in the house, you know, mm-hmm. that the child is witnessing. You know,
at that young age, at five years old,
you never know exactly what it is. And you can't say it was done with malice because you know it wasn't. That child doesn't know malice. That child
correct, more so
knows mimic.
But let's also put into the equation peer pressure of other kids who have a different lifestyle than those other kids. They're going to the same school, right? Peer pressure, you know, like, you know, that one kid can get away with things and then they challenge that kid. Well, if you don't do it, then you're not part of our group. You're not part of the, you know what I'm saying? Those type of things go on too, and we're very much aware of that. What I really am concerned about is that no one's really taken a stance to try to address it. It exists. It's here. I mean, what do we do as parents? You know, we've given children the rights to speak up and speak out. And I agree with that to a certain extent. I want children who are being abused to speak up and speak out. I want children who are being, you know, again, abused and dealing with certain things to come forward and speak up and speak out about it. But then you have some young adults who will use certain things to go against their parents who are trying their best to get their children in the right direction and not let them be out there all hours of the night getting involved in certain things. And then all of a sudden the parents are the ones who are in trouble for trying to be a parent. I think that unfortunately in the past 30 years, I should say, maybe 20, but I'll go as far back as 30, of where the parents do not have control based on what the new laws say and the new things about, you know, you parenting your kids. You can't discipline your child anymore. You don't have any control. But if your child steps over the line now, the parents are liable, you know, for the crime that your child did. To me, it's like a catch-22, and that's not right. It's not right if a parent literally is trying to protect their child, keep them out of trouble, and then your local law says, well, you can't do this to your child. You can't do that to your child. No, you can't beat your child down. But what happened to discipline? And how much discipline can you give your child other than talk to them and then they talk back and cuss you out? You can't smack them in the mouth for cussing anymore because that's an assault. I mean, what rights do the parents have now to raise their children?
It goes back to articulation as far as you being able to discipline. If you say, I beat my child's ass, and the evidence, the bruises, the marks show that you just beat your child's ass, you're wrong. But if you say, I was disciplining my child for what they did wrong or what they did that I didn't agree with that they shouldn't have done. You know, problem is we don't articulate the way we should until our ass is in the sling. We don't know our ass is in the sling when it comes to dealing with our children. I would tell people all the time, you have a right to whoop your child, but you can't tell somebody I beat my child's ass. You can say, I spanked my child, or I whooped my child, or I did this, or I did that.
Still going to be an investigation.
It was always,
officer, you know that.
Right, but
right.
You explain what you did. I was spanking my child for speaking back to me, and they jumped up and tried to run through the room, and the belt popped them on the leg instead of on the ass. That's how they got that mark on their leg. They jumped up and tried to run. You articulate
still
what you did.
Still,
but if
still,
you use
still,
the
still
word, I beat my child's ass for speaking back to me,
that's what they have
to present in court.
Okay. Can I throw the ball over to Janet? Janet, what's your thought about that? Because still again, we're in a situation of where I understand what Officer Crenshaw is saying, but in this era in time, you can't touch your child, you can't spank your child, you can't pop them on the leg, you can't say I accidentally did that.
Yes, you can. This is my point. I agree with Crenshaw because it has happened to me. Go ahead. I took my little boy, my youngest, to the hospital because he hurt his eye. First, he went down the stairs in a walker and he was like 3 years old. He went downstairs in the walker and hit his head against the door and had a knock. Then he rode the bicycle down the stairs and hit his eye. And I was afraid that he had hurt himself, you know, so I took him to the hospital. And they took me in one room and had him in another room. And I explained what happened, but they still was thinking that I had did something to my child. And they asked him several times what happened. And he told them, first I went down the stairs in the walker, you know, he told them what happened. But they wanted to put me in jail. And then there was a time where I was going to spank him, and he, like Officer Crenshaw said, he jumped down, and I hit him instead of on the butt. It was more like in his chest. And I took him to the doctor, and they thought that I was abusing my child. But I explained to them it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the nurses wanted them to call the defects, and the doctor said, no, it was an accident. But if you explain things correctly, then you don't have to, like Crenshaw said, you won't get in trouble as if you're saying, I beat my child.
Okay, so let me say this, okay, and just hold your horse, and I get that, and I appreciate you both sharing. But see, here's the thing. You're talking about an incident back when your child was younger. Crenshaw, I'm assuming that might have been the case with you too. I never had my child be in a situation like that. I had to spank my child, okay? And of course, and to anyone who's listening, if you feel like you have to use what they call corporal law, which they used to use in schools, remember back in the days when principals could spank your child for doing the wrong thing. Now that's pretty much outlawed. I think very few states still allow that corporal law for your child to be spanked by the principal. But the things that were now that we've gotten to the point of where children can grab a phone, their cell phone, call and make an allegation or say that their parent has done this to them, this and that, and the other to them. Immediately, the officers are going to come and go right at the parents 9 times out of 10. They're going to go for an arrest. They don't normally go into questioning and everything. Okay, 9 times out of 10, I've done the research, is that with today's society, the parent is the individual who is the violent one, and there's not much conversation. Again, that's how come I think there's an issue with training of how to proceed with these type of cases or these type of allegations, okay? And that's something that really needs to look at overall. A child may lie on their parent. A child may lie because they're upset because of something that their parent won't allow them to do and everything, and claim that their parent did something physically to them. As you said, if there's bruises and this and the other, I mean, hell, my dad used to whip my ass. Of course, I'm going to have, you know, probably some, you know, swelling maybe, you know, probably didn't whip me that hard, and I don't recall ever having any swelling. But if there's really a point of there was a certain type of force that was not necessary, you know, like on the back, on the shoulders, and this and that, this, whipping your child all over the body, okay, to me, yes, that is uncalled for. And, yes, the parent should be charged for abuse. Disciplining has limitations, you know. You smack your child on the backside.
Mark, it still all depends on the articulation. When you and I and Janet was growing up, our parents would say they whooped us, they spanked us. They never would say out in public or to anyone else that they beat our ass. It's the words that you use that get you in trouble. That's what I'm trying to say. The words that you use. Also, the problem relies on the fact that you got babies having babies. So when they want to go out and party and they can't because they got to feed a baby and cook for a baby and watch a baby, and they're still a baby themselves, you know, they get angry. And that's where the abuse and all that stuff come in at, because they don't know how to deal with it. They want to push the child off on the grandparent or something. But
true.
The investigation is going to take place. Just like if a child called 911, when I got there, I would listen. Okay, the child called. What happened? I would talk to the child. I would talk to the parent. If the parent says, well, I beat their ass because of this, I would look at the child as far as the marks and the bruises. And then I would ask the child, well, what happened? Well, they beat me. I said, well, why did they beat you? Because of this and because of that. And because of this and because of that. And then I would go back to the parent. Problem you have today is you don't have many officers willing to take the time to listen to everything, because they're too busy trying to cover their ass and not get involved in case it does turn out to be abuse or to be sued for wrongful arrest. But if you listen to everything, if you listen to both sides, you'll be able to make a determination. Yes, you still have to write up a report, but your job as the responding officer is just to do that. You let the detective make the determination on who to arrest and who not and why.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. I mean, you know, we have to keep our minds open and look at the fact that we're, you know, these are stories, and these are situations we're going to always come across, and as these stories come across, I mean, I'm like, a 5-year-old kills his own sibling. It's sad to think what kind of effect that's going to have on him at 5, as he gets older
and realizes
what he did.
It was his twin.
Right. Okay. Right. But he didn't understand. That's what I'm saying. Is that where at some point, at five, he don't know what really just happened. He really don't know. He'll never see his sibling again. Because he doesn't understand the meaning of death and the meaning of, you know, loss of life. Again, that's what we were saying. As adults, we know that, and the thing is that we need to be more aware. How did he get the gun? How did that happen? We hear these stories many a times. I want to change subjects real quick. Something that's kind of stupid and funny to me, and then I'm gonna change to one more before we got out of here. We got a little bit more time left. It's 7:37 here in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, I don't get this story. I really don't get this one. Janet, you know which one I'm coming to, right?
The fire.
Janet, you see the. Yeah.
Yeah, I said fire.
I'm trying to pull it up. I know you sent it to me. We'll get to Sean Combs next week because, I'm going to try to put that one in next. I might extend the show for 30 minutes, but let's check this one out. This one blew my mind. Fireworks on the roof may have started massive Atlanta apartment fire. Two arrested, police say. Atlanta. Fireworks could be the reason an Atlanta apartment building went up in flames on Friday night, according to police. Investigators say the fire may have started because of fireworks being lit on the roof. Police detained two people and later charged them with criminal damage to property and reckless conduct. Robert Stokes, 43 years old, and Carnell Gunn, 35, are being held in the Fulton County Jail. excuse me. I got to hit read more. Hold tight. Okay. it says here, Atlanta Fire officials told Channel 2 Action News that at 10:36 p.m. Friday, and this was last Friday, crews received reports of a fire at the Reserve at La Vista Walk apartment on La Vista Road Northeast. When crews arrived less than 5 minutes later, they saw heavy smoke coming from the property. More than 80 firefighters worked throughout the night into Saturday to put the fire out at the building. Think about that. During Channel 2 Action News Saturday AM Channel 2's Justin Carter reported that crews were still out at the property working on putting out hotspots and likely would be throughout the day. Now, hundreds of people were evacuated from the building on Friday night, and officials say 28 are still displaced and being assisted by the American Red Cross. 17 people were treated for smoke inhalation and minor injuries. One cat died in the fire. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. Okay, so here's what happened. They found out that these two individuals decided to set off fireworks on the roof of this huge apartment complex. And let me tell you guys, it's not the type of apartment complex that you would think. It's not where there's different units. It's one big, you know what I'm saying, join like a department store type thing. You know, I mean, your neighbors are
high rise.
The high rise. Well, it's not that high, but it's more spread out. You know what I'm saying? It's not really tall, but it's like every unit is connected, but it's more spread out. You follow me? And my question is this: what the hell were you doing setting off fireworks? Period. Why are you setting off fireworks at this time of year? This happened last Friday now. Okay, so over 7 days ago. This is not 4th of July, is it? Right? This is not New Year's, right? But here's something I found interesting. They are now putting out fireworks for different events. Where I work at,
there was a display for Halloween fireworks. You selling Halloween fireworks, man? Literally, a full display, Halloween fireworks. For what reason? What are we going to have next? Mother's Day? Fireworks? What are you going to have next? Thanksgiving? I might see that. We're going to put, fire in the sky. And at this time of year is not really the best time because it's the fall season. Leaves are falling on the ground. Okay. And so if any sparks hit those leaves, right, that could do what? Cause a damn fire, dumbass. But you're on the roof of an apartment complex. Well, you just displaced 28 residents over your entertainment. Probably cost you about maybe, I'll give you $60. People have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars of their personal things. Not only their personal things, but family keepsakes. I know what it's like to be in a fire. I lost a lot of stuff. So next time you decide to do a celebration, don't think of yourself. Think wisely. Don't be selfish, dumbass. Because now your ass is going to go to jail for some stupid-ass decision. Okay? That was dumb as hell. Fireworks. All right, so let me move on with one more topic before we get out of here. As I said to Janet, and we'll get to some of the ones that we did not get to this Saturday. We'll get to them next Saturday, which, of course, Thanksgiving will have passed us. So I'm wishing everyone a happy and thankful Thanksgiving. I'm going to let everybody else chime in on the same thing. But speaking of Thanksgiving, there's got to be a dish that is the number one dish for you when it comes to Thanksgiving. I want you all to share on that. And then there's always sometimes where some people might have a potluck type thing where, the host of the Thanksgiving dinner might do all the meats, and then they ask other family members to bring in, the side dishes. If you guys practice that, then cool. But can you all share with me, do you have a friend or family member that you just don't give that opportunity to bring a dish? You basically tell them, why don't you bring the ice and the soda? You make them the beverage king. Is there someone in your family? I mean, you ain't got to call up their name, but I'm sure one of y'all have someone that you got to share that. You just don't trust that holiday. Someone in there. Realistic. Come on.
My sister.
You ain't got to say their name. You ain't got to say someone.
I ain't going to say her name. But I don't let her bring no food. None.
So you put her on beverage patrol, right? Just bring the soda.
She can't even bring that. I don't care if it's bottled or canned. She can't even bring that. No.
What does she? Okay. So what does she do? She bring all the off-name brands, the cheapest ones she can buy, or something, or what?
No, paper plates and paper towels. That's all she can bring.
So she's a utensil queen. Janet, yes. Is there someone in the family whose food that you would not allow them to bring anything, but whose food you just don't trust to eat during the holiday or them bringing a plate?
No, I have nobody.
Nobody? Okay. You trust everyone that comes and brings a plate?
We have certain people that bring certain things, and everybody have a special dish, and so I have no comment on that.
Okay, wait a minute, Janet. You said, Janet, you said three people that bring certain things. Why the other people don't bring certain things?
Thank you.
No, we split it up. Everybody brings certain things. But I would never say somebody can't bring something.
See, I can cook
a lot of different things, but they mostly only want my macaroni and cheese because I do 14 cheeses. But this time they only want me to bring drinks.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, follow into the fun. All I'm saying is that is there someone among the family or friends that you would not recommend to cook anything to bring? Is there someone, you ain't got to say their name, but is there someone you feel like, I don't think that we want you to bring a dish? Okay, so you trust everybody.
Okay. Not in my family.
Not in your family. Everybody's a good cook. Right?
They learn from me. Okay.
Well, Crenshaw, I tried to get a laugh out of her, but obviously I can't. Okay, there are some family members I can say that no, they will be the beverage. They will be the beverage. The ice queen or no, I don't want them to bring a dish. Okay,
come on, baby.
You know, the certain things. Now, did you realize that there are some dishes that you would be surprised to know to be the number one side dish? Now, according to what I just saw in an article I read, mashed potatoes is number one for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I never would have thought of that.
Oh, yeah.
Mashed potatoes? Is that, more so than stuffing or, you know, a lot of folks, you know, there is a difference between stuffing and, there's
dressing.
Stuffing and dressing, right? There is a difference. And then you have green bean casserole. Those are, you know, some of the top ones. And those are really top. But I never thought mashed potatoes.
But that's not the top in the black family.
Well, let's go back to Janet.
I had to put that in there because I knew Janet was going to say something. She always has to be that way. But I'm based on what I read of this one article, of that, that's what was being said. I know, Janet, but the things that were based on that is that overall, according to the article, that is supposed to be, and as we get closer to Christmas, we'll look at certain other items that are number one that folks actually look at. Now, let me do this. We have 10 more minutes.
Hold on one second, Mike, real quick. Let's go back to Janet. Is there someone in your family who brings...
She's going to answer.
Yes, she will. Who brings something that is not always completely eaten by everybody, that there's always leftovers.
Everybody eats...
She gonna say that, you know what? I'm gonna give you an answer. They will take it to go because they don't want to waste any food. That's just Janet. There's nothing left at my house. That's what she's gonna say. Go ahead, Janet.
Well, no, I have a lot of food left over because I cook a lot of food. I cook more than enough because I know people are going to take leftovers. But we split it up between my daughter and her family, her children. And our relatives, we all split it up, and they pick a dish that they want to bring. It's their choice.
Janet.
Okay.
The whole question was, who, without naming any names or family member, is who is really not the best cook in the family that you guys are like, you know, okay, they can bring a dish, but I'm not really a favorite of their cooking. That's all it was. It's like,
right.
Yeah, you know, that's why.
You know what?
That's all it was.
I would, even if somebody can't cook, I still wouldn't say they can't cook. Because I would help them.
Not saying they can't cook, but you, Janet, you cannot tell me this, that you have everything that everybody that you know, friend, family, whatever, all their cooking is great. Okay? You can't tell me that because I know all of you. I would be lying if I said every family member of mine can cook perfectly and their food tastes great. I would be lying. The thing is that
when my family can't cook something, they ask for directions. They ask for a recipe.
Prior to asking you for directions, let's go back in time then. If they were, see, you just opened up the door now. So you said if they can't cook,
Janet,
you did say just now, if they can't cook something, they ask for directions. So is there a family member, don't name no names, that had to ask for directions where if they were trying to cook something and it wasn't pleasable or, you know, that they didn't like, maybe you tasted it, and they came to you, the master.
No,
okay,
you adding more into what it should be, Michael.
They ask you, the master, chef, okay? And they say, Granny Janet, Auntie Janet, I love your cooking. I just know I'm not doing this right. Can you help me? Have you ever had that person come to you? Because they really need help. The macaroni is soggy, the peas are mush, and the chicken tastes like wood.
I have a sister-in-law who always want me to cook a lot of stuff when I come to visit so that they can save it for later, you know. But that's saying
your food is good. That's saying yours is good. What we're asking is, out of three dishes, macaroni and cheese, dressing and turkey, at the end of the day, what is the most that's left over? Is it mostly macaroni and cheese left over?
Hell no.
Is it mostly dressing left over or mostly turkey left over?
I got five minutes left.
We don't have a whole lot of food left over.
We cook a lot of food. Okay, I have 5 minutes left. Officer Crenshaw, did you catch what I just said?
Yes.
Because I was trying to say that. I was asking her, what family member that would say to her, can you help me out? Because when I cook, the macaroni soggy, the peas are mush, and the chicken tastes like wood.
But would you tell someone, you know where that came from, right?
Officer Crenshaw, you know where I got that from, right?
Yes, exactly.
So where did you get it from, Michael? Because I don't know.
What?
No, I don't.
That's a song, Janet.
That's a song?
Yes.
Rapper's Delight.
When your friends come over to eat.
It's Rapper's, it's a line from Rapper's Delight. Okay,
right.
Remember the group?
Uh-uh.
And
I'm
it's
not
a song.
Into rap.
But that was rap when Curtis Blow and all them guys came out.
I still didn't like rap back then.
Oh, Janet, now you're breaking my heart. You're breaking my heart, Janet.
It's almost time to hang up.
Because it's getting beyond what where it's an era. She was there. She just wasn't listening. Okay. So, but yeah, that was the Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight.
I'll have to go pull that up and listen to it. Then
maybe
I'll let
you
know.
Went over to a friend's house to eat, and the food just ain't no good. I mean, the macaroni, soggy, and the peas are mush, and the chicken tastes like wood. You never heard that line?
Mm-mm.
Okay, Janet.
Oh.
You're not
old.
Like me and Mike.
We're gonna put you in this. When we do the hip hop show, we're gonna make sure that you very well verse on that song, because that's a classic. Okay, so we have 3 minutes left, and again, let me ask this thing. As I said before, we're in the holiday season. We were in the holiday season a month ago. Halloween and Thanksgiving just happen to mesh into each other, including Christmas now is a big thing. Online shopping. Last week I also talked about a little bit about the Black Friday thing. And Black Fridays are every Friday now for 3 weeks in a row. Right? How many of you actually shop online and take advantage of the online Black Friday deals? How many of you are aware of the Black Friday deals that they have 2 and 3 times a week? And then my next question is, how many of you just actually wait till the actual Black Friday and get out there and do the shopping in the stores? Is that understandable? Black Friday started on the 8th. Okay. Started on the 8th. Many stores, Walmart I know, did theirs on the 8th. And then there's like 3 events coming up. Other stores already started and everything. Black Friday is getting earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier. You know, and, you know, it's like, you know, certain items they put out there at certain weeks, right? So it's basically making you, as a consumer, look at all these events and seeing what they got out there. They had blenders out there for $15, great deals, still out there, $50. You know, jeans, $10, name brand, everything. But they put on the internet, and then they have the internet ones, then they do the in-the-store ones, and then stupid-ass customers come at the end of the evening and ask them, do you still have those 65-inch televisions for $200? You're actually coming in here at 6 in the evening and thinking we still got some of them? You know, are you serious? See what I'm saying? The ignorance of people.
Mm-mm-mm.
Why would you wait until 6 in the evening to come and buy a TV that's on sale like that, knowing that they're not going to have 100 of them? They might have about 30 or 40 of them, right?
Or 3 or 4.
No. To be honest, we have, trust me, we had at least, I'm being honest, we had at least 40 to 50 of each brand or each model.
But Michael, do you remember when they used to have Black Friday and you go to the store and it'd be 100 people lined up to come in the store and they'd be trampling all over everybody, and then you get in the store and they got 2 or 3 of something?
Yeah, I remember that. But see, they're changing that now, and I think that's being changed. And I think it's a good thing, because even when the major Black Friday, meaning the day after Thanksgiving, that's the major one, that's when you're going to see the more the better product, you know. But see, they're programming you, the consumer, not you personally, Janet. Don't take it personal. I'm saying you, the consumer, to come in there for the first deal. They put certain products out there that they know that we'll stock up on this, and you might stop by to get this. Because already I've seen folks that have stopped me and say, hey, I came in looking for this,
You guys got it for $50. And I'm like, yeah, it's right here. See, they're going in the wrong area. They have a setup for certain things. Setup is very important. Merchandising is very important for any retail. They don't want you to go exactly to the location of it. They want you to walk through and see other shit. Follow me? And ask for that product. It's a strategic thing that all retail stores do.
Yeah.
If they wanted you to get it right away, they put it right at the front damn door. Some things they do, but some things they put down the aisles, you know, but you're not looking. You're going to go directly to that department where you think it is, see. But they got it. Cross-reference. They know how to play with your mind and your mindset. They have people who study this. And I see it every day, and I'm like, wow. And I watch folks. And again, just the other day, this woman had a child. He said, I've been looking all over in your, you know, your appliance department, and I can't find this blender you got for $50. I'm like, oh, it's right here. She walked right past it. It's right at the entrance, but it's over to the right-hand side, what they call the racetrack. It's right there on the right-hand side. She's looking straight ahead, see, into the store. Her mind is set on that department. But not knowing the item she came in for was right there the moment she walked into the door to her right. She had tunnel vision. But that's smart marketing and advertising. They know how the mind is. They know how the person thinks. You get me? It's really genius, to be honest. That's part of my job. What I have to do, when I set up stuff, they tell me, Mike, here's the game plan, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I apologize. I say, well, really, sometimes I notice that we need to put something over here. That's a good idea. We'll go ahead and do that. Then we'll add some more stuff over there, you know, because they want you to do that. You look at a lot of stores that are not set up on the same, I've said this many times, you will very seldom, if at all, find any retail store having the same format at all. They flip the script. It's like they turn the store upside down because the store that you're used to going to in your neighborhood, they know you're only going to go to that one location for that one item or those two items that they're used to getting, that you're used to getting, and you're going to go right there. But if you go to one of their stores in another neighborhood, they're going to make sure it's not set the same way because they're going to be like, oh, you're going to walk in and be like, you will say this to an employee, well, the store I'm at, it's normally on this end. They're like, no, it's over here. They want you to see all that other shit. It's a mind game. It's a programming thing or non-programming you to think that every time you go into their establishment, it's the same setup. Mm-mm. They want you to see other stuff and spend more money. Every day I get a person that comes in and says, I did not plan on buying all this shit. I got to go get a shopping cart now because this is not my regular store. Mm-hmm. They know this. Thank you for coming and spending more money and getting a shopping cart and filling it up. Now, last thing I want to say, coming to Thanksgiving, most of us here on the board are black. We know how we were born and raised. We know what kind of foods we ate. I'm not going to say that all of you ate certain types of things. I know that I used to, as a kid, I grew up on chitlins. I grew up on neck bones. I grew up on hog moths. I grew up on certain things that back in the day, for you folks who are listening, I see some folks on the board, you're welcome to hit the number one chime if you want to. But I remember my mom making chitlins, soaking them. I remember when a bucket of chitlins were like $5 for 10 pounds. After you cleaned all that crap, you might have got 4.5, 5 pounds out of it. And chitlins used to cost about
$7 a bucket. Go to a grocery store now. Guess how much a 10-pound of chitlins costs you right now. Just guess. Anybody?
No idea. I don't eat them. I can't deal with the smell when they're cooking.
$26. But they got pre-cleaned now. You're paying for 5 pounds, but you're getting 5 pounds. You're not getting the crap.
Janet is close. $26 if you're lucky. But most stores I've seen, it's in the 30 and above for a 10-pound bucket of chitlins. Now, think about this. Neck bones. Neck bones, chitlins, as I said, all that were throwaway. They were scraps many, many years ago, right, in the slavery days.
It's a delicacy
even
now.
Ribs. They were, right, in the slavery days. Eating ribs. See, rich white folks only wanted the tenderloins, the white meat, not the dark meat. They would throw away all those things.
The fat sacks, the strickly, the hog maws, yeah.
Chicken
gizzards, yeah.
Even chicken
the liver.
Gizzards. The liver, all that was trash. And look at how much they want you to pay them to eat it today.
Look at chicken wings, Michael. Chicken wings used to be real cheap, the cheapest thing you could buy. Now because people know about hot wings, you can't hardly buy a bag of wings.
No, nope. The sad part is when you go to a wing place and they run out of damn wings. I'm like, are you out of your damn mind? You still got your light on? Why are you even open?
Well, Michael, go to a wing place and they give you some chicken wings that look like they came from a chick. I did that with Zaxby's one time. And I said, are you kidding me? I'm paying $15 for this little tiny wing? They gave them to me free.
Well, you got to be careful about certain places. And you have to look at even Zaxby's, even though they look clean, and they are clean, I'm pretty sure, on the inside and everything. But look at the processes that where it has been said and alleged. I'll look into this more. Is that where what Zaxby does is that where they cook their, let's say, their chicken breasts and everything, right, for their sandwiches and everything. And then what doesn't sell as a sandwich, they chop that down and make into their salads. So sometimes that chicken breast is not fresh the next day. It's the ones they cook for their sandwiches, you follow me? And then they chop it down, and then that becomes your chicken salad the next day. So not everything is fresh, same day cooked, you follow me? And I don't think in most places like that, they're going to throw away, you know, a lot of food. They're going to save it, reheat it. I can get it with a salad. And think about how much you're paying for Zaxby chicken salad. The
well,
lettuce don't
look,
cost.
Look, when they do that, they're chili.
Well,
Janet, you
with their hamburgers. Yeah, with their hamburgers.
Janet, you might be getting pigeons.
Pigeons, yeah. They look like a pigeon. But they gave it to me free because it was so darn tiny. I never in my life seen a wing that little. Yeah.
So be cautious of what you get. And one more time. Be careful over the holiday season of what you get and eat, because a lot of people now, if you pay attention, are actually buying through fast foods more so than any other time of the year. True. Pay attention because they're busy shopping. Right, as we get closer to Christmas, they don't want to. First of all, they're trying to save the money to buy gifts, and then they don't want to buy a lot of money on just regular dinners. They're going out and buying fast food stuff to feed the kids, this, and that, and the other. Another thing, pay attention to. Have you noticed you don't see many holiday displays in your neighborhoods? Meaning, Christmas tree lights and, and stuff outside and everything. Because you know what? That electricity costs a lot of damn money to entertain your neighbors overnight, and they just ran down the street. But why would you spend that much electricity trying to make your house look pretty? Back in the day, it was cool. But now, with the cost of electricity?
Some people still
no.
do it, Michael.
So I know that, Janet. I'm not saying. See, you always do that. I know some people still do it. But a lot of people are getting away from it. Because, and even though you have these new high-tech lights and everything, which if you're going to do, I recommend you to look at some of the ones that do save on both. Go ahead and get the ones that can spray all across your house. Hopefully your neighbor won't steal that device out of your front yard, pushing down the street, you know. But a lot of people I've noticed over the years don't do Christmas lights anymore. Also, Crenshaw, I know you decorate. What's your thoughts on that?
I use a low voltage with my decoration, and I set it up. If I pay the bill, I pay the bill.
Okay. So that's good. See, he just told us flat out. Low voltage. Turn them on when you want to, but a lot of people are really staying away from it. And I hate to see that because I do love to see holiday decorations. And as long as they can bring the cost down.
Michael, you got to get out and drive around because there's a lot of decorations out there. And I guess it depends on what neighborhood you're in.
Well, I visit a lot. I know a lot. I've seen the downturn on many. I've seen the downturn, and not just in the neighborhoods. I've seen by me working where I work at and seeing my inventory, which I have to keep track of, not selling much of it. So I do know it is becoming something that a lot of people are not getting more involved in. Maybe us older folks, but a lot of younger folks maybe are not investing.
And then some people put the same decorations up because I just did that today for somebody. They didn't go out and buy decorations.
Okay, okay. I'm not debating. I'm just saying is that where the companies are still stocking in hopes to make sales. So that's all I'm saying is that product is there available, but that particular product is not running out the door. All right. So with that being said, we got 15 more minutes left. Officer Crenshaw, we're not going
to
be back on until. Okay, Janet, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You
I'm going to go ahead and get everybody's last thoughts. What's your plan for this Thanksgiving? Do you have family and friends coming over, or are you traveling and to visit family?
No, I'll be here, but I just wanted to tell Janet, since she doesn't remember Rapper's Delight, you're not getting old. You're not getting old. You're seasoned like a fine wine. Everyone wants to taste.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And like a juicy, like a Thanksgiving turkey that everyone wants a bite.
All right. Okay, good job.
But no, I'm staying here for Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Janet.
Yeah, I'll be on a yacht next week.
Oh, life vest. Life vest.
Oh yeah, they got the life vest.
I don't get on boats no more since I went through my scuba training. And I saw a fish. It was a fish. It was a fish that was as big as a damn whale.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I failed my scuba training because I was trying to get to the top as quick as I could.
Well, my daughter and her husband know where the dolphins swim, so they put a show on for them every single time. They get in front of the boat and be jumping up in the air and flipping and carrying on. So I'm looking forward to that, plus doing some fishing. I got my Carolina red and my copper.
Well, that will be fantastic. And I'm sorry, but we're going to run out of time because here's the thing. I want to make sure I play this track before we go. Also, Prince Charles, you already know what it is. But I'm going to play this track before we go. I want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving. God bless. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. We'll be back after Thanksgiving, the Saturday afterwards. And, of course, here on the TMGS. Don't forget, tomorrow night, the debut of a new show here on the TMGN is a young man that is broadcasting from Birmingham, Alabama. His name is Darren Reynolds. His show will be on at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time, and it's called Truth Be Told. Check him out. Give him some support. We're looking forward to checking him out. His topic is going to be about mental health and much more. So check him out, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern time here on the TMGN. Same bat time, same bat number. All right, so we're going to get out of here, you guys. And Janet, I'm going to dedicate this to you. Here's Sugar Hill Gang. Good night,
guys. Love you.
Good night.
Good night.
Just the same, I got a little faith and a pair of blind eyes. All I'm hitting. to do. Ladies is hypnotized. Sing it on and on and on and on and on. The beat don't stop until the break of dawn. I sing it on and on and on and on and on. Like a hot butter to pop, to pop, to pop. Give it, give it, pop, to pop, pop. You don't dare stop, but come alive, y'all. Give me what you got. I guess by now you can take a hunch and find that I am the baby of the bunch. But that's okay, I still keep in stride, cause all I'm here to do is just a wiggle your behind. Sing it on and on and on and on. The beat don't stop until the break of dawn. I sing it on and on and on and on and on. Rock, rock, yo, I throw it on the floor. I'm gonna freak you here, I'm gonna freak you there. I'm gonna move you out of this atmosphere, cause I'm one of a kind and I'll shock your mind. I put the jig, jig, jiggles in your behind. I say the one, two, three, four. Come on, girl, get on the floor. Come alive, yo, give me what you got, cause I'm guaranteed to make you rock. I say the one, two, three, four. Tell me one, to Mike, what are you waiting for?
To the hip. The hippie to the hippie, the hip hip, the hopper, you don't stop. Rock it to the bang, bang the boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie bead. Well, skittle bee bop, we rock a Scooby-Doo. And guess what, America, we love you. Well, cause it rocks in a row with us so much so. You can rock till you're 101 years old. I don't mean to brag, I don't mean to boast, but we're like hot butter on a breakfast toast. Rock it out, a baby bubba. Baby bubba to the boogie, bang bang the boogie to the beat. Beat is so unique. Come on, everybody, and dance to the beat. To the boogity bang bang, the boogie to the boogity beat. I say I can't wait to the end of the week when I rap it to the rhythm of a groovy beat and attempt to raise your body heat. I just blow your mind so well that you can't speak and do a thing but a rock and shuffle your feet and later change up to a dance called a freak. And when you finally do come into your rhythmic beat, rest a little while so you don't get weak. I know a man in Hank, he has more rhymes than a serious bank. So come on, hey, I sing that song until the rhythm of the boogity bang bang the bomb. The dimp, the ladies pimp, the women fight for my delight, but I'm the grand master with the three MCs that shop the house for the young ladies. And when you come inside and to the front, you do the freak bank and do the bump. And when the sucker MCs try to prove a point with Trent's feel, or with the serious joint, from sun to sun and from day to day, I sit down and write a brand new rhyme, because they say that miracles never cease. I've created a devastating masterpiece. I'm gonna rock the mic so you can't resist. Everybody, I say it goes like this. I was coming home late one dark afternoon. Reporter stopped me for an interview. She said she's heard stories and she's heard fables that are vicious on the mic and the turntable. This young reporter I did adore, so I rocked the vicious rhyme like I never did before. She said, damn fly guy, I'm in love with you. Casanova legend must have been true. I said, by the way, baby, what's your name? Said I go by the name Lois Lane. And you can be my boyfriend, you sure they can. Just let me quit my boyfriend called Superman. I said, he's a fairy, I do suppose, flying through the air and pantyhose. He may be very sexy or even cute, but he looks like a sucker in a blue and red suit. I said you need a man who's got finesse and his whole name across his chest. He may be able to fly all through the night, but can he rock a party till the early light? He can't satisfy you with his little worm, but I can bust you out with my super sperm. I go do it, I go do it, I go do it, do it, do it. And I'm here, and I'm there, I'm Big Bang Hank, I'm everywhere. I just throw your hands up in the air and party harder like you just don't care. Let's do it, I don't stop y'all, I take a talk y'all, you don't stop. I go hotel, motel, and what you gonna do today? Cause I'm gonna get a fly girl, gonna get some spank and drive off in a Death OJ. Everybody go hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You say if your girl starts acting up, then you take a friend. I say skip, God, what can I say? I can't fit them all inside my OJ, so I just take half and bust them out. I give the rest to Master D so he can shock the house.
It was 12 o'clock and one Friday night. I was rocking to the beat, feeling alright. Everybody was dancing on the floor, doing all the things they never did before. And then this fly, fly girl with a sexy lead, she came into the bar, she came into the scene. As she traveled deeper inside the room, all the fellas checked out her white ass shoes. She came up to the table, looked into my eyes, then she turned around and shook her behind. So I said to myself, it's time for me to release my vicious rhyme, I call my masterpiece. And now people in the house, this is just for you, a little rap to make your boogaloo. Now the group you hear is called Phase 2, and let me tell you something, we're a hell of a crew. Once a week, we're on the street just to cut the jam and make it free for you to
want, they got to have the mood to will get right down and give you a groove for you to dance. You got to be hot, we'll get right down and make it rock. Now system's on and the girls are there. You definitely have a rockin' affair. But let me tell you something, there's still one fact that to have a party, got to have a rap. So when the party's over, you're making it home and trying to sleep before the break of dawn. And while you're sleeping, you start to dream and think of how you dance on a disco scene. A name appears in your mind, yeah, a name you know that was right on time. It was stage two, or just a two and a two, rocking you down, cause you know we good to the rhythm of the beat that makes you free. Come alive, girl, get on your feet. To the rhythm of the beat, the beat, beat, the double beat, beat that makes you free. To the rhythm of the beat that says you go on and on, until the break of dawn. I got the man coming on right now, he's guaranteed you, no doubt. He goes by the name of Wonder Mike. Come on, Wonder Mike, do what you like.
I say a can of beer, that's sweeter than honey, like a millionaire that has no money, like a rainy day that is not wet, like a gambling fiend that does not bet, like Dracula without his fangs, like the boogie to the boogie without the boogie bang, like collard greens that don't taste good, like a tree that's not made out of wood, like going up and not coming down. It's just like the beat without the sound, on down to the beat, beat, you do the freak, everybody just rock and dance to the beat. Have you ever went over a friend's house to eat and the food just ain't no good? I mean, the macaroni soggy, the peas almost, and the chicken tastes like wood. So you try to play it off like you think you can by saying that you're full. And then your friend says, mama, he's just being polite, he ain't finished, oh, that's full. So your heart starts pumping and you think of a lie and you say that you already ate. And your friend says, man, there's plenty of food, so you pile some more on your plate. But while the sticky food's steaming, your mind starts to dream of the moment it's time to leave. And then you look at your plate and your chicken's fully rotting into something that looks like cheese. Oh, so you say, that's it, I got to leave this place, I don't care what these people think. I'm just sitting here making myself nauseous with this ugly food that stinks. Oh, so you bust out the door while it's still closed, still sick from the food you ate. And then you run to the store for quick relief from a bottle of KO Pectate. And then you call your friend 2 weeks later to see how he has been. And he says, I understand about the food, babe, but we're still friends. With a hip hop, the hippie to the hip, and a hip hip, a hobby, you don't stop, the rocker to the bang bang boogie, say up jumps the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. I said, Hank, can you rock? Can you rock to the rhythm that just don't stop? Or can you hit me too? The shoo-be-doo. I said, come on, make the people move.
I go juice the hoses and ring the bell, because I am the man with the clientele. And if you ask me why, I rock so well in Big Bang. I got clientele from the time I was old to 6 years old. I never forgot what I was told. It was the best advice that I ever had. It came from my wise dear old dad. He said, sit down, punk, I want to talk to you. And don't say a word until I'm due. Now there's a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to live and a time to die, a time to break and a time to chill, to act civilized or act real ill. But whatever you do in your lifetime, you never let an MC steal your rhyme. So from 66 to this very day, I'll always remember what it had to say. So when the sucker MCs try to jump my style, I let them know that I'm versatile. I got style, finesse, and a little black book that's filled with rhymes, and I know you wanna look. But the thing that separates you from me, and that is all originality, because my rhymes are on. From what you heard, I didn't even bite, not a got word. And I say a little more later on tonight, so the sucker MCs can fight all night. I take a top, y'all, I beat y'all, and let's rock, y'all. You know, stop, go hotel, motel, or what you gonna do today?
Say what?
I'm gonna get a fly girl, gonna get some swag and drive off in a desk. Oh yeah, everybody go hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You say if your girl starts acting up, then you take her friend. I like that, y'all. I did the beat, y'all. I beat, y'all. You know, stop. I'm Master G. I'm on Melo. It's on you. So what you gonna do?
Well, I like the Hank Carson on the late show. I like fucking Crocker in stereo. I like the barcade singing Holy Ghost. The sound of so sound. I definitely the most. It's like my man, Captain Sky. His name he earned with the super sperm. We rock and we don't stop. Get off, y'all. I'm here to give you what you got. To the beat that it makes you freak. Come alive, girl, get on your feet. I like a Pepe Mason without a case, like Sarah Foster without her face, like the bar case on the mic, like getting right down for you to not like moving your body, so you don't know how, right to the rhythm and slow down, like coming alive, you the Master G, the brother who rocks so viciously. And at the age of one, my life begun. At the age of two, I was doing it too. At the age of three, it was you and me rocking to the sounds of the Master G. At the age of four, I was on the floor, giving all the beats what they bargained for.
girls just take off the cross to the beat, the beat to the double beat, beat that makes you free. At the age of 8, I was a really great delivery night. I had a date. At the age of 9, I was a right on time to live a night.
Truly, 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 truly a hip-hop classic. That is Sugar Hill Gang with Rapper's Delight. Have you ever went over to a friend's house to eat? And you will be doing that during the holiday season. I see Officer Crenshaw still on the board. Janet dropped. I hope she heard that one part of it.
Exactly.
That is classic, you guys. For all of you that are listening, because we have all experienced that at some point, I would think so. I know I have. Awesome. Hey, I went ahead and added a little bit more time, and again, I signed off. But I'm going to play some of these great classic hip-hops until the time is up. And make sure you tune in coming up on the J. King Network is my friend, one and only Miss Makisha Best. Her show comes up on the J. King Network. And you guys should tune in, 9 p.m. Eastern. Great topics, great guests she has on. And, wow, really appreciated the show and appreciate this Saturday. I've been able to tune into quite a few shows this evening and really enjoyed the conversations. And let me see if I can find a really good good old school classic. And I think I got one. I think I got one right here. Let's check this one out.
Smooth it out. This is a story about the drifter who waited for the worst because the best is brought down.
I want to change that. Let's try this one.
Makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere. People pissing on the stage. You know they just don't care. I can't take the smell. Can't take the noise. Got no money to move out. I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room. Roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, blue, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. Crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage bales, used to be a fag hag, such as the tango, skipped the life and dangle, was her aunt princess, seemed to lost her senses, down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so ditty, she had to get a push, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge, I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing bad for my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Me on King Kong, standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, call, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Go to school cause the teacher's a jerk, he must think I'm a fool, and all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps, cause it's all about money, ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They push that girl in front of the train, choke her to the doctor, sew the arm on the game, stab that man right in his heart, gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, cause he hates the places you play and where you stay. Looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you wanna grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused and served like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in the cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy, man. Yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, where's Field and Raheem, man?
They upstairs cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to Fever, man.
Go check out Junebug, man.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom got balls, man.
What?
Yeah, man.
classic. Hey, we got about 15 minutes left. Let me see if I can find another one for y'all. One of my favorites. Oh, my goodness. I love that one. That was taken from the archives of a show that's here on the TMGN, Michael Gay Network. That is Gwen Ross presents hip-hop. And she's going to be taking a break during the holiday season, but she'll be back the first of the year. She broadcasts live from the great city of Las Vegas, Nevada. And she'll be back the first of the year. Okay? And so you guys make sure you check her out when she comes back live. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS and listen to her full episode that she shared with us. Okay? So I'm kind of like sharing a little bit of some of these classics she shared on her daily show. And y'all check it out. Okay, let me see if I can grab something else here to play for y'all real quick. Again, I have 15 minutes. See if I can squeeze in maybe two more songs. Going to the board here. In fact, she had over 50 songs here. And I'm like, wow. These are some classics here. Here's a good one.
I want to shoot, baby. Shoot.
Ooh. How you doing, baby?
Shoot.
No, not you. You.
Shoot.
The bow-legged one. Yeah. What's your name?
Shoot.
Damn, baby. That sounds sexy.
Here I go again, girl,
man.
What's my weakness?
Man.
Okay, then, chillin', mindin' my business.
Word.
You thought I looked around and I couldn't believe this. I swear, I stand, my knees, my witness. The brother had it going over something kinda, wicked, wicked. Had to kick it, I'm not shy, so I ask for the digits. I hope no, that don't make me see what I want, slip, fly to it swiftly. Felt it in my head, so I dip back to my bag of tricks. Then I flip forward, this made me wanna do tricks on them, lick them, like a lollipop should be lit. Came to my senses and I chill for a bit. Don't know how you do the voodoo that you do so well. It's a spell, hell, makes me wanna shoot, shoot, shoot. I wanna thank your mother for a butt like that.
Wow.
Can I get some fries with that shake, shake, booby? If looks could kill, you would be an Uzi or a shotgun. Bang! What's up with that thing? I wanna know, how does it hang? Straight up, wait up, hold up, Mr. Lover. Like Prince said, you're a sexy mother. Well, I like them real wild. B-boy style by the mile. Smooth black skin with a smile. Bright as the sun, I wanna have some fun. Come and give me some of that yum yum chocolate chip honey dip. Can I get a scoop? Baby, take a ride in my coupe. You make me wanna
shoot, baby. Hey, 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 hey. Don't you know I wanna shoot, baby?
Shoot,
baby. Shoot, baby.
Well, let me bring it back to the subject. That's all it said. Make you get hot, make you work up a sweat. When you sit to my loo, my darling, in love, but I'm falling for you. When I get shot, bet you buy a dollar, you were best under pressure.
Yo, Sandy, I wanna like taste you.
Get your lips wet, cause it's time to have pep. On your mark, get set, go, let me go, let me shoot to the next man in the three-piece suit. I spend all my dough, Ray me cutie. Shoot, shoo-ba-doobie, like Scooby-Dooby-Doo. I love you in your big jeans, you give me nice dreams. You make me wanna scream, ooh, ooh, ooh. I like what you do. When you do what you do, you make me wanna shoot. Oh my goodness, girl, look at him. He is the cutest brother in here, and he's coming this way. Ooh.
and the B wanna kick with me, cool, but I'm wicked G. Yeah. Hit skins whenever quickly. Right. I hit the skins for the hell of it, just for the yell I get, for the smell of it. You want my ball, here's the hot rod. 12 inches to a yard and have you sounding like a retard. 6'1 love a 6'2 wanna hit you.
So what you wanna do?
What you wanna do?
I wanna shoot you.
You don't matter the problem.